Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most mysteries, some of the most mysterious things about the universe. And we profile some of the developments that affect your life. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic and ask a question, then give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Well, I get a lot of emails from people asking questions about black holes and gravity waves and what is dark matter, dark energy, and who better to bring on to the airwaves and talk about these things is our good friend Ken Croswell, astronomer at Berkeley, author of a number of great books. Go to his website and you can see references to the books that he's written. And we'll talk about him in a few minutes. But first of all, before we begin, let me make an announcement. And that is, my new book comes out this week and it's already hit the Amazon bestseller list. In fact, in England, it's already hit the Amazon bestseller list in England as well. The book is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. And it's about, well, what I do for a living. And that is, I work on something called string theory, which we think is the fabled theory of everything. Of course, we can't prove it yet, but hundreds of physicists around the world are working to tease apart this dream. You see, Einstein spent the last 30 years of his life chasing after this grand scheme, the Holy Grail, that would unify all the laws of physics into an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long. I first heard about this, the God equation, when I was 8 years old. I still remember all the papers were talking about the fact that a great scientist had just died, and they showed a picture of his desk, his parting desk. And on his desk was a book, and it was unfinished. And the caption said, "This is the unfinished manuscript of the greatest scientist of our time." And I thought to myself, wow, why couldn't he finish that book? What's so hard that a great scientist couldn't finish? I mean, couldn't he ask his mother? It's a homework assignment, right? Well, over the years, I went to the library, and I found out that this man's name was Albert Einstein. And his dream was to unify all the laws of physics. You know, E equals mc squared, even school children recite that equation. M refers to mass, like the mass of hydrogen in the sun. E is the energy of sunlight that heats up our world. There's a symmetry there that turns M into E and E into M, unifying these two things. Well, that equation is half an inch long. Einstein wanted an equation perhaps an inch long that would unify the entire universe, and he failed. Sorry about that. But today we have a new theory called string theory, which, well, is very controversial. Nobel Prize winners have split on this question. That's how heated it is. But the idea of string theory actually goes back 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, there was a great Greek mathematician, Pythagoras, of the famous Pythagorean theorem. And he noticed one day that a lyre string, its note is lower the longer the string. He went to a blacksmith's shop, and he noticed that bars of steel vibrated at a low frequency the longer they were. And he said, aha, I can use mathematics, the mathematics of resonances, to explain musical notes. And sure enough, he was the one who first broke open the laws of music. Well, then, said Pythagoras, he started a school. He had students, started a school based on music, the music of the universe. But let's face it, it never got anywhere. Why? Because we didn't know anything about atoms, about chemistry. Well, 2,000 years later, we have hundreds of subatomic particles every time we smash a proton apart. How do we make sense of this? Can nature be so malicious to give us hundreds of subatomic particles? Neutrinos, mu mesons, quarks, Yang-Mills particles, leptons. It goes on and on and on. Well, along comes string theory and says, it's music. If you had a microscope and compared it to an electron, it would actually be a rubber band. A rubber band, when it vibrates at a different frequency, it turns into an electron, neutrino, quark. It's the same thing. All these subatomic particles are the same thing. Nothing but different vibrations on a rubber band. So physics is the harmonies you can write on these strings. Chemistry is the melodies you can play on these strings. The universe is a symphony of strings. And then the mind of God, the mind of God that Einstein spent 30 years of his life chasing after, is cosmic music resonating through 11-dimensional hyperspace. And folks, that's what I do for a living. I'm the co-founder of field theory, one of the main branches of string theory. And you can summarize string theory with my equation. My equation is about an inch long. It's not the final theory. Now we have membranes. Now we have something called M-theory. And so far, no one has been able to crack that problem yet. So maybe somebody listening to my voice, a young kid listening to what I'm talking about, will be fired up to finally complete the theory once and for all, to find the God equation. And I have a word of advice. If you find the God equation, then tell me first. We'll split the Nobel Prize, you and me, and we'll both share in the glory of this great chase. Okay, well, as I said before, I get a lot of emails about black holes and gravity wave detectors and stuff. So we have with us astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books. Go to his website, kencroswell.com, to find out what he's up to. So, Ken, glad you could be on once again. Science Fantastic.
Glad to be here, Michio.
First question for you is, let's talk about galaxies, since you are one of the world's authorities on galaxies. Recently, of course, people realized that you cannot study ancient galaxies going back to the Big Bang. The Big Bang happened 13.8 or so billion years ago. But a new galaxy was discovered that allows us to really get some insight into what these early galaxies might have been like. Tell us about that.
This is a very interesting discovery. This is a record-breaking galaxy. It's the most oxygen-poor star-forming galaxy ever found. And the reason that's of interest is because we think the very first galaxies that formed right after the Big Bang were similar to this one. The problem is, as you say, we can't really observe them very well because in order to do so, we'd have to look over 13 billion light years of space. But this new galaxy that has just been found is only a few hundred million light years away. So it's much easier to study. We have pictures of it, and you can read an article about it on the Science News website. We've got the whole story on this very interesting galaxy, which has a record low oxygen abundance. Oxygen, as you know, is made in stars, and so it didn't exist right after the Big Bang. And so likewise, the very first galaxies to form after the Big Bang had very little oxygen. So we think that this galaxy may be giving us a close-up look as to what the primordial galaxies were like, the ones that we cannot study so well.
Well, let me ask you a question that's bothering me. If the Big Bang had took place 13.8 billion years ago, then what came first, the chicken or the egg? Was it star formation that came first? Was it galaxy formation that started first? Or was it black hole formation that started first? What started soon after the Big Bang?
We honestly don't know the answer
okay.
to that.
We have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to get right to discussing the early galactic history. This is Dr. Michio Kaku. Stay tuned for the second half of the next half of Science Fantastic. Give us a call. 612-564-8135 is the number to call. Or find out about my new book, The God Equation. Go to mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and find out about what all this excitement is about. Stay tuned.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is our favorite astronomer, Ken Croswell of Berkeley, and author of a number of great books. Go to his website, kencroswell.com, like Alchemy of the Heavens, for example. And we're talking about the mysteries of the universe today. I get a lot of emails, so we're talking about black holes, gravity wave detectors, dark matter. But let's start off with the early universe. So, Ken, what came first? We had the Big Bang. Did stars come out of the Big Bang? Or what about galaxies? Some people think that maybe black holes came out first and galaxies condensed later. What are your thoughts?
Well, the Big Bang only created three light elements, hydrogen, helium, and a little bit of lithium. And then the other elements, the heavier elements, as I described in my book, The Alchemy of the Heavens, were made by the stars. And we think that the first galaxies, the very first ones that formed after the Big Bang, that these galaxies were very small, and they did have stars, and those stars started to explode, and they cast off these other elements, in particular oxygen, which today is the most common element in the universe aside from the hydrogen and helium that were made in the Big Bang. Now, you ask me, well, okay, what came first? Were the galaxies, were the stars, were black holes? I think probably what happened was you had these very small galaxies starting to form. They had gas, and the gas gave rise to stars. And the most massive of those stars collapsed to form black holes. And what's interesting about this new galaxy that has just been found, this oxygen-poor star-forming galaxy that's been found much closer to Earth than these primordial galaxies are, is there is evidence that they have intermediate mass black holes. These are black holes that are more than 100 times the mass of the Sun. And the astronomers proposed that in this galaxy, that stars arose that were so massive, more than 300 times more massive than the Sun, that they left behind these intermediate mass black holes when they died. And the evidence for that is that if you have these very massive black holes that are more than 100 times as massive as the Sun, that gas swirling around those black holes is going to get very hot and radiate high-energy photons. And those photons will be able to tear apart the electrons from helium atoms. Now, helium is an element that, as you know, does not like to engage in chemical reactions. It's a noble gas. It clings very tightly to its electrons. And so you expect helium atoms to have the same number of electrons as they have protons. That is two. But in this newly discovered galaxy, these astronomers find a strong spectral line due to helium ions, that is, helium atoms that have one of their electrons torn off. And these astronomers take this as evidence that this newly discovered galaxy does have intermediate mass black holes around which gas is swirling and getting very hot and radiating these photons, that is, ionizing the helium. So this is a very interesting discovery. And as I mentioned, it's on the Science News website, sciencenews.org.
Okay, and Ken, let's go a few steps backward for the beginner. And first of all, define a few terms. First of all, let's define what is a black hole, because we'll be talking about it throughout the hour. What is a black hole?
A black hole is actually a really simple thing. It's simply an object that is so dense that you can't escape from it. You can't travel faster than light. And the escape velocity from a black hole is greater than the speed of light. Now, every object in space has some escape velocity. I mean, you can't just jump off the Earth anytime you want. You have to go upward at a very high velocity. And more massive objects than Earth with stronger gravity have even greater escape velocity. So you can imagine an object with such an enormous escape velocity that the escape velocity exceeds that of light. And that's what a black hole is. It's something so dense that it's basically cut off from the rest of the universe. In other words, if you fall into a black hole, you're never going to get out.
Now, I read an article that said that every galaxy that we know of, every large galaxy, has a bulge in the center. And it's now believed that at the center of the bulge, the galactic nuclei, there's a black hole. This is incredible. This means there must be billions and billions of black holes out there, each one in the center of a galaxy. How has that theory held up?
That theory is based on good observations. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, has a supermassive black hole at its center. This is the most massive and the largest black hole in the entire Milky Way, about 4 million times as massive as the Sun. It's called Sagittarius A star. It is the object about which all else in the Milky Way galaxy revolves. So the Sun right now is moving at about 500,000 miles per hour through space around that black hole. But because our galaxy is so big and the Sun is so far from that black hole, it takes us about 230 million years to go once around that black hole. So you're absolutely right. Most of the large galaxies in the universe do have supermassive black holes at their centers. And I should say that many of these other galaxies out there have much larger black holes than we've got. For example, there is a supermassive black hole at the center of the giant elliptical galaxy M87 that we recently got a photograph of. That black hole is something like 6 or 7 billion times as massive as the Sun, versus our black hole being just 4 million times as massive as the Sun.
Now, I saw an article where they took a computer program and talked about the collision of our galaxy, the Milky Way, with Andromeda, which is slightly bigger than our galaxy. And the two galaxies are in a collision course. And with computers, you can create the animated version of the death of the Milky Way. These two galaxies coming together, ripping the arms apart, coalescing until the black holes at the center begin to merge. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the merging of two black holes at the center of Andromeda and the Milky Way? What are your thoughts?
Yes, that's a collision that's going to occur probably in the next 5 billion years or thereabouts, the collision between the Milky Way and Andromeda. And then at some point, those two supermassive black holes at the centers of Andromeda and the Milky Way will likely merge into one. And we actually do see a very distant galaxy called OJ-287. And that galaxy at its center seems to have two black holes going around each other every few years. So maybe that's a case where you've already had the galactic collision occur. In other words, that galaxy may once have been two separate galaxies, similar to the Milky Way and Andromeda, both of which had supermassive black holes at their centers. Those two galaxies merged, and now those two black holes are in the process of spiraling together. So, yes, it's quite possible the same fate awaits the black holes of the Andromeda galaxy and the Milky Way in many billions of years.
Now, I saw an article once, years ago, that said that if you look at the Andromeda galaxy nucleus very carefully, there's not one black hole, but apparently two. And it means that perhaps the Andromeda galaxy had lunch in the past and ate up a star cluster. And so that's why there are two black holes at the center of Andromeda. Has that held up, or that was several years ago?
Yeah, I think that was back in the 1990s, and I don't believe that has held up because some of the early observations weren't as precise as our current observations. We think right now there's just one supermassive black hole at the center of the Andromeda galaxy. It's considerably more massive than our black hole, the Milky Way's black hole. So it looks like when those two black holes merge, it'll be the Andromeda galaxy's black hole basically taking over the Milky Way's much smaller black hole, unless in the next few billion years we manage to increase the mass of the Milky Way's black hole. But how we would do that, I don't know.
I also read that when our Milky Way galaxy collides with Andromeda, nothing much is going to happen from our point of view. Stars are so far apart, the galaxy is basically empty, and so even when two galaxies collide, the Earth may pretty much escape a lot of the devastation. What are your thoughts? Is that real?
That's absolutely true. We will be unharmed. The Sun is not going to collide with any star in the Andromeda galaxy. In fact, very unlikely any star in either galaxy will collide with any other star. The only place where you get stellar collisions are in places where you've got lots of stars closely packed. So, for example, at the galactic center or in very dense star clusters.
Okay, Ken, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call, 612-564-8135. And go to my website, mkaku.org, and find out how you can order a copy of my latest bestseller, The God Equation. So stay tuned as we continue a discussion with astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Governments around the world are quickly responding to a new COVID-19 variant, first reported in South Africa, called Omicron. The World Health Organization has classified it as a highly transmissible virus of concern. President Biden has been briefed, and health officials in the administration say they've been in contact with their South African counterparts to learn as much about it as possible.
There's a lot of travel. You never know exactly where it is. That's the reason why we're getting together to them to try and get the precise molecular makeup of it so you could actually test for it.
On advice from the CDC, the Biden administration announced it will join Asian and European countries in restricting travel for people coming from South African countries starting on Monday. Markets tumbled after the news of the new variant. The Dow was down 905 points. This is USA Radio News. The world is remembering a Broadway legend.
Where are the clouds? Send in the clouds.
Composer Stephen Sondheim has passed away at the age of 91. He was responsible for many classics, including Send in the Clowns, which was a hit for Judy Collins in 1973. Other works of Sondheim include West Side Story, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, A Little Night Music, Sweeney Todd, Merrily We Roll Along, Sunday in the Park with George, and Into the Woods. Five of his shows won Tony Awards for Best Musical. His show, Sunday in the Park with George, earned the 1985 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. A new film adaptation of his musical West Side Story, directed by Steven Spielberg, is scheduled to have its world premiere in New York City on Monday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. And we're talking about, well, a lot of the emails that I get about black holes, gravity wave detectors, all the stuff you read about, but you scratch your head and say, what the hell is that? Well, as you mentioned, Ken, we took a photograph of the black hole at the center of M87 a few years ago. But how is that done? This galaxy is so far away. The black hole is so faint. How can we lash together, in some sense, all these radio telescopes to get this image of a black hole in a distant galaxy? Sounds like it's impossible.
Well, that galaxy, M87, is 54 million light years away, which I realize to the average person may seem like it's really, really far, but it's not that far. And that black hole is really massive. It's really big. So that that makes it easier for us to detect them. But that still doesn't really answer your question. And the answer to your question is how do we get that image? Well, we basically lash together a whole bunch of telescopes all across the Earth, and they use something called interferometry, which allows us to get better resolution with radio telescopes than a single radio telescope can get. And so in that way, and it was a very difficult process, obviously, it took a long, long time, and lots and lots of people working on it, they gave us that wonderful image of the black hole at the center of M87 a couple years ago.
Now, when black holes collide, they release a lot of energy, but some of that energy is in the form of gravity waves. What is that? And some people think that in the future, telescopes may not simply measure light, but also measure gravity waves, a gravity wave telescope. Tell us a little bit about what is a gravity wave, why did it win the Nobel Prize, and can we use it to probe the secrets of black holes?
Well, the very first detection of two black holes spiraling together and emitting the gravitational radiation occurred in September of 2015, so about 6 years ago. And two black holes were orbiting around each other, kind of like the Earth and the Moon do, but they spiraled together because they were radiating gravitational waves. And this carried away energy from the two black holes, and as a result, they slowly spiraled together, got closer and closer and closer together. And then they finally merged, and there was an enormous burst of gravitational radiation that astronomers detected back in 2015. So that's how we detected that event, and since then we have detected a number of other similar events of two black holes merging together, and it's been a wonderful new field in astronomy in which we're able to actually detect these black holes merging, and we're able to measure the masses of the two black holes involved, and then the final product which ends up being a single black hole. And what we observe is that the final product is not equal to the sum of the two masses. So, for example, you might have, two black holes, each with 60 solar masses. They merge together. You think you get 120 solar masses, but you actually maybe only get 117. And the difference of three solar masses is because of Einstein's equation E equals mc squared. So much energy is converted into, or so much mass is converted into energy.
Okay, Ken, we have to take another short commercial break, but afterwards we're going to continue a discussion of black holes, gravity wave detectors, and dark matter and dark energy. You're listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Or go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and find out about my latest bestseller, The God Equation. So stay tuned as we continue a discussion with astronomer Ken Croswell.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens and a number of other great astronomy books. And we're trying to answer a lot of the emails that I get about the cutting edge of astronomy. Now, we know that when Galileo unveiled the telescope, it used light to probe the secrets of the planets and stars. And then around World War II, we used radio telescopes that could then peer right through gas clouds to the center of galaxies and unveil a whole new era of astronomy. Now people are saying that maybe gravity waves could give us a third type of telescope. And let's put them into outer space. LISA, the Laser Interferometry Space Antenna, sponsored by the European Space Agency and NASA, it's been delayed, of course, but it's still on the books. That could give us the most detailed baby pictures of the infant universe as it's being born. So, Ken, tell us a little bit about what is a gravity wave, and do you think it's possible to build gravity wave telescopes?
Yes, it definitely is, and a gravity wave is basically energy carried away through space, radiated by generally extreme objects, like, for example, two black holes or two neutron stars orbiting one another. And those gravity waves travel through space, and they're very hard to detect because space is very stiff. Even though you've got lots of energy being radiated in the form of these gravitational waves, when two black holes merge, it's still very hard to detect the event simply because space is so stiff. Even though the amount of energy that comes out when two black holes merge together is immense, it's just that space is so stiff that it's hard to detect the distortion in space. But yes, in the future, we're definitely going to be seeing more and more of these merging black holes. We've already seen lots of black hole mergers. They've told us a lot about the masses of the two black holes involved and the sum of the two masses when a final black hole forms as a result of the sum of those two black holes coming together.
And I understand that we have not one, but two gravity wave detectors, one in New Orleans and Louisiana, and the other one in Washington State. And, well, what is the state of this new development? Are we going to be able to get more and more evidence of colliding neutron stars and black holes? Is this going to give us some indication about the Big Bang? What do you think is going to be the future of these detectors, given the fact that they are huge, miles across? They're very expensive. So what are your thoughts about the future of this new type of telescope?
Well, I think it's very promising because we know it works. We've known that ever since 2015. And since 2015, we've seen dozens of mergers occurring in space that have emitted gravitational radiation. So, yes, it's a wonderful new field. Also, there was a really important event in 2017. In August of 2017, we saw two neutron stars spiral together, and we saw them forging heavy elements similar to gold and platinum. And this helps address one of the biggest questions that we have about the elements, and that is, where did the very heaviest elements come from? Because stars don't really like to make them, because for a star to make gold requires that the star lose energy. So stars make very little gold, and as a result, that's why there's so very little gold and platinum on Earth. It's just, these are not elements that stars like to make, and we used to think that supernova explosions made much of those elements, but now it looks like neutron star mergers can make a good deal of those elements as well. And that's all due to this neutron star merger that occurred back in August of 2017.
Well, now let's talk about the most mysterious unknown object in the universe, dark matter and dark energy. You know, every high school textbook says that the universe is mainly made out of atoms. Well, that could be wrong. Most of the universe could be made out of an invisible substance called dark matter, which kind of freaks people out, but hey, why should the universe always be visible? Well, let's take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue with a discussion about some of the mysteries of astronomy. We're talking about dark matter and dark energy. Also, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, to find out about my latest bestseller, The God Equation. So stay tuned as we continue a discussion of this great universe of ours. Stay tuned.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
With protection for your motorcycle, boat, and RV, your Progressive policy works the way it's supposed to. Unlike this indecisive sports talk host.
All right, welcome to the Big Shark Show.
Hey, Big Shark, any predictions for the game tonight?
Well, if you ask me, they are definitely going to win big, but I also think there's a chance they don't win. It's just my gut that they will, or they won't. But I do have a hunch that whatever happens, we will definitely know when it does.
Wait, so...
Either way, they always seem to come up with a big play, or sometimes just a smaller one.
Switch to Progressive today.
Bottom line, they're going to win. Or lose.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Special guest today is Ken Croswell. Today we're talking about some of the unknown mysteries that are still unsolved about the universe. Black holes, gravity wave detectors, and now dark matter and dark energy. So Ken, first of all, what is dark matter? And if it's invisible, how do we know that it even exists at all?
Well, we know that dark matter exists because even material that is invisible exerts gravitational force. And so we can see the effects of that gravitational force on objects such as stars and galaxies that we do see. So, for example, we observe that the rotation of galaxies is different than we would have expected in the absence of dark matter. So we infer that giant galaxies like the Milky Way have enormous halos of dark matter. So when you think of a galaxy, a spiral galaxy like the Milky Way, you think of a beautiful whirlpool in space of all these stars emitting light. And most of those stars lie in a disk, a flat disk, similar in shape to a pancake. But that pancake is then surrounded, it's engulfed by an enormous halo of dark matter. Likewise, when we observe clusters of galaxies, we observe that those galaxies are moving much faster than we would expect in the absence of dark matter. So we deduce that galaxy clusters actually have more dark matter than they have luminous matter. If the dark matter did not exist and did not bind the cluster galaxies together via its gravitational force, then those galaxies are moving so fast that they would escape from the cluster. So in those two ways, we know that there is dark matter out there. Now, you ask the question, what is dark matter? And, you know, I wish I knew, but the current thinking is it's probably some exotic particle, some subatomic particle that is passing through my body and yours right now, and we don't know what it is. We haven't detected it here on Earth, but it passes through us all the time. In that regard, it's a bit like neutrinos. Neutrinos come from the sun and from elsewhere, and they're passing through us all the time, but they don't interact with ordinary matter. Likewise, dark matter probably is some form of subatomic particle that is, you know, passing through ordinary matter. It almost never interacts with it, and the hope is the physicists would really like to detect it here on Earth. That obviously is very hard to do since it doesn't normally interact with ordinary matter. But hopefully someday we will discover that, and probably whoever makes that discovery will win the Nobel Prize.
Well, there are lots of theories. One theory that I particularly think could be correct is that it's a higher vibration of the string. The string predicts something called the photino. The photino is the super partner of the photon. It is massive, and it is neutral in charge, stable, and it should act very much like dark matter. But other people say, not so fast. There's another particle called the axion. Some people think that's dark matter. And other people think that, well, maybe Newton's laws of motion are wrong. Maybe Newton's gravity field is incorrect. And so there's no dark matter at all. It's nothing but a defect, a deviation from the inverse square law. Well, with all these theories out there, with a Nobel Prize in the balance, what do you think?
I have no idea what form dark matter is going to take. I'm quite happy to wait until the physicists detect it here on Earth. You are right, there are a few people that say that, well, maybe Newton's law of gravity is wrong at large distances, but that's an extreme minority point of view. Most of us think there is actual dark matter out there, and it's simply a matter for people here on Earth to detect it, and we'll find out what it is. Hopefully that will happen in our lifetime.
Now let's talk about something even more mysterious, dark energy. Dark energy is apparently the energy that's pushing the galaxies apart. It is the energy of the Big Bang itself. And scientists are clueless as to where this energy comes from, but it makes up most of the matter energy of the entire universe. About 70%, plus or minus, 70% of the matter energy of the universe is dark energy. So what are your thoughts? You have any thoughts about what dark energy is, the energy that is pushing the galaxies apart?
I suspect it's what Albert Einstein called the cosmological constant. It arises from the repulsive energy of completely empty space. We don't quite understand that, but that would explain why the universe's expansion is not slowing down with time, but actually accelerating faster and faster. That's not due to the Big Bang. You know, the Big Bang gave the galaxies their initial kick, you could say, or gave matter its initial kick away from other matter. But this cosmological constant is causing the expansion of the universe to get faster and faster, in other words, to accelerate. Exactly why that happens, we don't fully understand. So that, too, like dark matter, is a major mystery in cosmology.
So the universe will eventually die if this expansion just keeps on going. It's going to get colder and colder and colder. The universe will consist of black holes and dead neutron stars. All life will eventually die. So what are your thoughts? It's a rather depressing thought, but the second law of thermodynamics says that, well, everything has to run down at some point. The universe could go on expanding forever with dark energy, and the universe could freeze to death. But what are your thoughts?
Well, it looks like the universe is going to keep on expanding forever and for a very, very long time. And that's probably better than the alternative, which is, well, the universe reaches a certain maximum size and then starts to collapse and we have an inverse Big Bang. So I'll take this fate over that one.
Okay, well, once again, our special guest, Ken Croswell. Go to kencroswell.com. You're listening to Science Fantastic. This is Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. My latest book, The God Equation, is now an Amazon bestseller in both United Kingdom and in the United States. Find out what the excitement is about as we approach a theory of everything, fulfilling Einstein's dream of an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long that will allow us to, quote, read the mind of God. This is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.